This is the Evil Never Dies podcast with Brett and Carl. This podcast may contain adult themes, violence, and strong language. Listener discretion is advised.
The Evil Never Dies podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Evil Never Dies podcast. I'm Brett here with Carl.
Yeah, and I have a cat named Dracula who keeps wanting to bring me a toy mouse, and she's screaming at the top of her lungs for me to come get it.
And evidently, I bought a fucked up camera.
Evidently. Dracula, shush.
I've been messing with this thing for 2 weeks now and can't get it right. So I think I'm going to go back to my other one. But we didn't have time to do that tonight, so.
No, it's getting late on a Friday night, and we're behind because I had to work late. So now we're running late on this show.
Yeah, we are. We're recording.
Tomorrow night, we'll be doing Real Talks, and you'll be doing Apes. So no time for the show tomorrow night. So here we are at almost 10 o'clock.
Is it almost 10 now? Jesus.
Yeah. It's okay. We'll get there. So tonight we've teased this for a few episodes. We're going to talk about the movie Ed Wood and a little bit about the life of the movie producer director Ed Wood. If you don't know who Ed Wood was, he was sort of kind of a cult filmmaker who was known for the D, C, Z rated movies. I don't know what you would call them.
Yeah.
Called B films. I think this was below a B film, the movies he made.
He was actually, after he died, he was actually awarded the worst director in history.
Well, I think that's bullshit, but I have seen worse movies. Now, I'm talking about Ed Wood in his prime, which is sort of what the movie Ed Wood covers. I've seen way worse movies than the movies he made. I really have.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the movies are sort of cheesy and they were done low budgeted, but I've seen worse. I've seen a lot worse. So I don't think he's the worst director ever. Now, I don't know. You were telling me before we went on the air about some of the stuff he did in his later days, and I wasn't aware of that. So you'll school me on that here in a bit.
Actually
makes him the worst director of all time. I didn't see any of those movies. So,
well, yeah. Well, let's start out really about his beginnings and
stuff. Let's go over Ed Wood, the man.
He was actually sort of like a war hero.
Yes, he was in World War II.
He was a paratrooper. I think he was with the 101st Airborne, if I'm not mistaken. I don't quote me on that, but he was a paratrooper. And I guess when he was growing up, his mom wanted a girl and got
a son.
Yeah. So she used to dress him up in girls' clothes and parade him around as a girl.
I sort of knew that.
Well, it ended up he got used to doing that. So he would wear girls' clothes all the time. And he actually wore girls' clothes while he was in the army fighting World War II.
Yeah, I think he said he wore a bra and panties under his military uniform. Is that true?
Yep, that's what I heard too. Yeah. So he was basically a cross dresser, I guess you'd call it. I don't know what they did they call them transvestites back then, or because this was the late 40s, early 50s, and. But he wore girls' clothes.
Yeah.
Totally straight, loved women, dated some pretty beautiful women.
He did, yes.
His wife was very beautiful that he was married to for 40 years almost.
Yeah, he just, I don't know, I guess like Dee Snider.
I guess. But his first wife, actually, on their honeymoon when they got married, when they went to consummate the marriage, he had a pair of women's panties on.
That's funny.
So she said, screw that, and got the marriage annulled.
Well, what an asshole.
Yeah, no shit. Bitch.
Yeah, she's a bitch. Fuck her.
So anyway, then he started like doing some small productions of like plays and stuff. This was after he got out of the military. And some plays that really didn't go anywhere. And
yeah, I always felt bad for Ed Wood. It's like he just never caught the right break.
Exactly.
And I guess he never did catch the right break at any point.
No, especially with some of this later stuff he did.
Yeah, I'm not real familiar with that stuff. So he
basically, I think, was one of the started the in the beginning of like the early 70s to mid 70s, like sexploitation films.
And that took over the entire horror genre at one point. Even Hammer was doing that.
Yeah. And some of the movies he did like 50 short films too of that type of material. Just sort of like stupid stuff, I guess. Sexual stupid stuff, you know, like one of them is called Girl on a Bike.
Girl on a Bike.
Yeah, Lusty Neighbor. And these are like 15-minute short films that he wrote and directed.
Oh yeah, I didn't know he did a lot of that stuff. So I think after Bride of the Monster and Plan 9, I sort of lost track of Ed Wood.
Yeah, well, that's when he started in on the sexploitation stuff. Let me see here. Some of them he mixed with horror, too.
Well, I know he had a movie called Jailbait, but that wasn't the name he actually called it. I guess the producer or the distributor renamed it that, like, behind his back. So when it came to the theaters, it was called Jailbait. So there you go.
You see when that came.
I would imagine in that day and age, that would have been considered pretty taboo. I don't know.
Yeah, that was one of his first films. It was like the fifth or sixth movie he did. But basically his first movie that he did was a movie about a transsexual called Glenn or Glenda.
Yeah, that movie's covered in the Tim Burton film that we'll cover at the end of the show.
Yep. And
I've actually seen Glenn or Glenda. I used to have it on VHS. I think I bought a box with all the more known Ed Wood movies on it in the VHS era, I guess we could call it.
Hey, look, there's
and, something. And then there. Probably his most famous movie is Plan 9 from Outer Space.
That or Bride of the Monster. I guess Plan 9 is more known. It was his biggest budgeted movie. I know that much.
And it was the last movie of
Lugosi.
Bela Lugosi.
Well, it was stock footage of Bela Lugosi, so I don't know if that really counts or not, but it was considered his last film. They used a double.
Yeah,
we replaced Bella.
We'll get into that too when we cover the show.
Yeah,
the movie. So, but yeah, that's really all I got about Ed Wood.
A lot of interesting tidbits.
Yeah,
sounds like he sort of went downhill, but he never gave up his dream. I mean, hell, he was doing what he loved.
And also a bunch of stuff that he had written was released as late as 2017. He wrote some Westerns and stuff. I don't know if they were actually released before or and then re-released or what, but The Vampire's Tomb from 2014. Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
It looks like it was made back in the
50s?
50s, 60s, what it looks like.
Well, maybe we need to see if we can find that.
Check into that, yeah. And what else? Yeah, that he wrote and created a bunch of stuff back in the day. And it looks like they redid Glenn and Glenda in 1994, too.
I'll say this. Ed Wood was ahead of his time. You know, I think a lot of people ought to give the guy credit for some of the risque moves he made and was not scared to make.
Exactly.
So looking back on Ed Wood now and under 2023 eyes, he might receive a lot more respect than he ever got in the 70s and 80s, where he became a joke. You know, he was, you know, Plan 9 from Outer Space is the dumbest movie ever. Well, it might not have been a good movie, but the dude's doing what he loved and what he enjoyed. And I give a lot of credit to Ed Wood for that. And he didn't let people dictate what he can or could not do. So I'm giving Ed Wood a lot of credit for being a pioneer and a rebel.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's just like with bands. Just because a band doesn't become, you know, sell 12 million records doesn't mean that they're necessarily the worst band ever.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to throw John Bon Jovi under the bus, but I mean, John Bon Jovi sold a lot of records, but is he the greatest artist ever? No. Not really.
Far from it.
Hey, the Young Guns 2 album is good. That's his best work. All right. Anything else on Ed Wood, the director, producer?
Not really. He was just, you know, he wasn't afraid to push that button, you know?
No, he wasn't.
Very creative guy, for sure.
Yeah, and he gave Lugosi a shot whenever nobody else would.
Exactly. Yeah, he hadn't made a movie in years before he met up with Ed Wood.
Well, there's a lot of controversy about did Ed Wood take advantage of Lugosi or not. So we'll talk about that when we talk about the movie a little bit more.
Well, I guess we'll get into the movie.
Yeah, and I want to do an episode like this on William Castle. We've talked about that before. I kind of like this format. Talk about a director and then get into one of the movies or something, because William Castle was a bit like Ed Wood via a lot more successful, but his movies were sort of gimmicky and low budgety as well. Well, let's get into the 1994 film Ed Wood, which was directed and produced by Tim Burton, and it starred Johnny Depp as Ed Wood, which shouldn't be a shock since Tim Burton and Johnny Depp have teamed up many, many times. The film sort of is during the period of Ed Wood's life when his best known films were made, not what you're talking about in the later days, and his relationship with actor Bela Lugosi, who was played by Martin Landau in this movie. And boy, oh boy, it don't look like Martin Landau. They did a good job on that one.
Well, Rick Baker actually did the makeup. And he did a really good job.
I think this thing won some awards. We'll get to that when you get to your awards section.
Well, there's
Brett's always got an awards section here.
It was nominated for a lot of awards.
Okay, well, save that for your awards section. I actually want to hear this one.
Okay, all right.
Not when you give out awards from 2024 for best DVD or whatever. These are going to be some good awards.
All right, like you said, it was directed by Tim Burton. Screenplay by Scott Alexander and Larry Karaszewski. Based on the biography Nightmare of Ecstasy The Life and Art of Edward D. Wood Jr. by Rudolph Gray.
I should have read that book at one point, but I never did. I kind of might have to go back and find that eventually.
I think it's on audiobook, actually.
I do read everything on the Kindle reader, so I would need to find a Kindle copy on Amazon.
I'm too blind to read it, so I'm going to have to listen to it. All right. Produced by Tim Burton and Denise DeNovi. Cinematography by Stefan Zaspe. Edited by Chris Lebenson. Music by Howard Shore.
I was going to say Howard Stern.
The score was pretty cool.
Oh, I love the score. And Video Bob used to use some of the Ed Wood music for Underground Connection as background music because we were on cable access and nobody could fucking sue us back then, you know?
Copyright bullshit.
Yeah, there was no copyrights.
All right.
Now, you do know who distributed this movie, right?
Yeah, Buena Vista Pictures.
That's Disney.
That's Disney.
This is a Disney film.
Yes.
So could this make Ed Wood a Disney princess?
Maybe.
He could.
He probably would have dressed up like one.
Yeah. Sure. He would have. And it would have been cool as shit.
Yeah. Didn't they try to go with Columbia first? And then Columbia didn't want it to be in black and white.
Yeah. I know they had some issues with it being a black and white film. Which sort of turned me off when I first like, why in the hell am I going to watch this black and white? But it worked. It worked really well.
Yes, it did. It's one of the best black and white films ever, I believe.
Well, movies that were made in the modern day in black and white.
Yep, exactly.
Like Raging Bull's an example I would use.
Yep. Production company was Touchstone Pictures.
The former Disney movies that weren't for children company that went out of business.
Yeah.
Now they own 20th Century for that role.
All right. It was released on September 23rd, 1994 at the New York Film Festival. And September 30th, 1994, everywhere else. As a running time of 127 minutes. Country of origin is the United States. English language. Budget was $18 million.
Yeah, and it didn't do well at the box office.
Oh, they lost about $6 million.
Which is surprising to me. I
think they've made their money back in, you know, other media sales by now, so...
I'm sure they have.
But it only made $13.8 million at the box office. Now, when this first came out, I was like confused, you know?
You were confused?
I really didn't know who Ed Wood was at the time, you know? Back then. Until I...
Well, I did because I actually knew about Plan 9 from Outer Space. Because I think it was at the video store and I like rented it and I was like, whoa, this is crazy. So there might have been like a documentary or something about Ed Wood. I don't know. I knew who Ed Wood was when this came out for some reason. And it had to have been Plan 9 from Outer Space because I don't remember Bride of the Monster until after the movie.
Yeah, because I don't remember him either for sure when this came out. So. It was
apparently
new to
a lot
me.
Of people didn't. It only made $13 million.
Yeah, I don't even. I think I didn't see it till actually when it came out on video. So I didn't go see it at the theater. I know that. I probably would have wanted my money back at the time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do you want to go over the plot a little bit, Carl?
Yeah, we'll go over the plot. So it's the 1950s, and Ed Wood is trying to enter the film business or the film industry. And he heard an announcement that a producer, I don't know who it was offhand, was trying to purchase somebody named Christine Jorgensen's life story. Well, Christine Jorgensen was actually a transgender person in the 1950s. So guess what, folks? This isn't something that just happened overnight. This has been going on forever. And Ed met with the, what was the name of the producer that was trying to do this? You know it?
Oh, let me see here. We'll keep going. I'll get to it.
So anyway, they met with the, Ed Wood met with him, and they changed the, or the film was called I Changed My Sex, but Ed is not hired. So along the line, he meets Bela Lugosi. According to the movie, Lugosi is trying out coffins, and Ed Wood just walks up to him and says, "Hey, it's Bela Lugosi."
And he's like, "Why are you looking at coffins?" He's like, "Because I'm going to die.
I'm dying. I will die very soon. I get my Lugosi going tonight." So anyway, Ed finally talks him into directing the movie, but having Bela Lugosi in it would help sell tickets. So they signed Bella for a low price, and the movie is filmed, and it's named Glenn or Glenda. Yeah. They argue over the title because I think the director had it already had a poster called I Changed My Sex, but it is called Glenn or Glenda. And Ed Wood actually stars in the movie. So,
yeah.
And Bela Lugosi does like the narration.
Yep.
And they basically do a one take shot of for the movie, and they get it made.
Yeah, in like 8 days or something. Wasn't it like 7 or 8 days?
It was a short, yeah.
It didn't take long at all.
Well, the movie's released and it's a critical failure. So he didn't get work with the guy again. So his girlfriend, Dolores Fuller, who actually she has a story of her own, but we'll get into later, maybe, tries to talk him into financing his next film independently. So Ed starts trying to raise money and meets this psychic named the Amazing Criswell. And basically, they go on these big, huge runs trying to make money to make Ed Wood's movies. So that's sort of the premise of the film. And every movie he makes, he's going to have Lugosi as a star in it. And that's his big selling point. I got Bela Lugosi. Well, most people are like, we thought Bela Lugosi was dead. Well,
yep.
Unfortunately, Bella's career was pretty dead by this point, but Ed Wood gives him a little bit of glory there. So that's the premise of the movie. I don't know if you want to spoil anything else or not. I don't really know that you
really
can spoil this movie.
It's basically about that time in his life when he was making all these F-grade movies, I guess you
could independent films.
Yeah.
I'll be nice and call them independent films.
Yeah, they were all made in like a week. And
well, I know he met some girl who he thought was a wealthy heiress who said she would pay for his film, but unfortunately she only had like $20, so they get kicked out of the movie studio.
Yeah,
so filming is halted. Yeah. And they get like a meat packing tycoon to fund the movie, but he wanted his son cast in it, so that movie becomes Bride of the Monster.
I thought he was a preacher.
No, that comes later.
Okay.
That comes later.
Okay. Yeah, that's for the Plan 9 from Outer Space. That's right.
But this Dolores King, who Ed Wood thinks is a wealthy lady, actually says she wants to star in Bride of the Monster. So Ed Wood's girlfriend gets knocked out of the starring role, and that sort of pissed her off. She became the file clerk.
Yes, it did.
Well, all right. She eventually will break up with him because she finds out he is a crossdresser, and the chick don't like it, so off she went. So he starts, actually, I think he tries to date Vampira, who like was the Elvira of the 50s, actually the originator of that.
Yep.
And she thought he was gay, and he's like, "I'm not gay. Why would you think that?" And she's like, "Well, you know, you wear women's clothes." He's like, no, I love women. Yep. And I don't guess he gets to date Vampira, but he will eventually date this Loretta King and marry her. So, nope. Is it her or is it another chick? I forget. I don't remember. He marries some girl that actually embraces his cross dressing and thinks it's cool.
Well, I'm going to go over the cast and you'll know who it is then.
Oh, and one last thing, Lugosi goes to rehab, and that was really a true story. And the pictures were awful. I saw him the other day. The real Lugosi.
Oh, really?
It was bad. It was way worse than the movie portrays. I'm sorry, I've got an ice in my mouth here that was a little big. I didn't want to choke on it. Yeah, the pictures were bad. Lugosi was in a really, really worse shape than Ed Wood the movie portrays even. Yeah. So let's go over the cast, and I'll find out who Ed Wood marries.
All right. We got Johnny Depp playing Edward D. Wood Jr. And he was cast within 10 minutes of Tim Burton hearing that he got to direct this film. So he wanted Johnny Depp bad to do it.
Well, he was good in it.
Yeah, he was. He played a really good job. Next, we got Martin Landau as Bela Lugosi. And he did such a good job at this movie.
Yes, he did.
And a little bit of trivia. Martin Landau was in a space show in the 75 to 77. What the heck was it called? Did you watch that show?
No.
Oh, what was it called? Space 1999.
Yeah, that came like after Star Trek. I thought it was cheesy looking, so I never watched it.
Well, the director that directed that show was Hungarian. And when he saw Martin Landau portraying Bela Lugosi, he called him after not talking to him for 10 years and told him how good of a job he did with the dialect from Hungary.
Yeah, that Hungarian dialect is sort of hard to pull off versus Romanian. The Romanians and the Hungarians are not very friendly with each other anyway. So,
And Martin Landau said that he watched every film that Bela Lugosi ever did.
God damn, every film?
Every film to learn how to talk like him. So.
Well, everybody thinks when I do my Karabi voice, I'm ripping off Bela. But actually, I'm ripping off one of my wrestling characters.
I don't think you sound nothing like Bela Lugosi.
People think that. They're, you're Dracula. Well, no, I'm actually doing more of a Romanian type of sort of northern Italy up in that area thing. So, yeah. But I can do a Bela Lugosi when I need to. What was that?
Your voice is too high.
Yeah, I know. I have to deepen it up and do a little bit. I can't do Lugosi right now. I'm too sleepy. Anyway.
All right. Next, we got Sarah Jessica Parker as Dolores Fuller.
I'm going to tell you a story about her. She becomes a songwriter for Elvis Presley after she gets away from Ed Wood.
Exactly. Did a bunch of stuff on the Blue Hawaii movie, I think. Song stuff on there.
And she was embarrassed by Ed Wood for his cross-dressing, so.
Yep, she left him.
She left him.
For that and losing the lead in that movie.
That didn't help, yeah. I don't know. I mean, whatever on that one.
Next, we got Patricia Arquette as Kathy O'Hara.
That's the one he married.
That's his woman.
How could I forget Patricia Arquette?
She did a good job in this movie. She was really laid back. Like, she just didn't give a shit, you know?
Yeah, she did.
Next, we got Jeffrey Jones as the Amazing Criswell.
That's the psychic.
Yep, that's the psychic, TV psychic guy.
That guy looked just like the real Criswell, too.
Sort of, yeah. I was looking at pictures of that. Next, we got G.D. Spradlin as the Reverend Lemon. He was the Baptist minister who funded Planet Nine from outer space.
Now, there you go with your, it was the Baptist who funded Plan 9. It was the meat packer who did Bride of the Monster. That's funny.
Next, we got Vincent D'Onofrio. He plays Orson Welles, who is Ed Wood's, like...
idol.
Idol, yeah.
Now, did that really happen? Did he really meet Orson Welles, or was that just...
don't know. I couldn't find nothing about it either.
I would have to actually read the damn book, and I don't have time right now, so...
But Tim Burton didn't like the way Vincent D'Onofrio sounded. His voice. So he had a guy named Maurice LaMarche do the voice for it.
Yeah, you got to get Orson Welles' voice right. You can't fuck up Orson Welles' voice.
Exactly.
Orson Welles was a genius. I don't care what anybody says.
Next, we got Lisa Marie as Myla Numi, or better known as Vampyra. The real Elvira. There's a really cool documentary on her on Tubi.
I'm going to watch it.
It is very good.
If I can stay awake tonight, I may watch it tonight.
Oh, it's too good. You gotta watch it. You gotta watch it another time. You can't be sleepy and watch it.
Okay, I'll wait for it.
Yeah, you'd be better off waiting. You'll enjoy it very much more. So,
okay.
It's a very good documentary. I highly recommend. So,
okay, cool.
Next, we got Bill Murray as John Bunny Breckenridge.
You damn well bet we got Bill Murray in one of his best roles, I think.
I think, too. And he played Ed's drag queen friend who helps him with, he gets him all of his transvestite buddies and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, they were trying to get him off
for Los Angeles and Hollywood. Yeah.
Yeah. They were trying to get him off for Glenn or Glinda, and he had like a whole room full of transvestites. And
yep.
Bill Murray did a great job in that role because it was definitely not Bill Murray. That shows his ability as an actor.
Exactly.
I loved it. Exactly. Yeah.
He did just his mannerisms and stuff. It was like, when I first seen him, he's like in the opening shot of the movie, you know?
Yes, he is.
So. Next, we got Max Casella as Brent, and Brent Hinckley as Paul Marco and Conrad Brooks. They were like Ed's production assistants, actors. They did everything. They were like his gopher guys, you know? But they were in all of his movies. And they're like some misfit guys, but they ended up making it pretty big. One guy, the in real life ended up having his own TV show for a while, like variety show.
I never knew that. No.
Yeah. I think it only aired one season maybe.
Well, the one character is the one who gets into a Bela Lugosi. Because he calls Lugosi Karloff's sidekick.
Yeah.
And that's where Lugosi, my favorite line of almost any movie, Karloff, sidekick, fuck you. Karloff does not deserve to smell my shit. That limey cocksucker can rot in hell for all of that I care.
And you know, that's weird because Boris Karloff's son, or not Boris Karloff,
Lugosi's son
said that he never cussed.
That I believe Lugosi's son.
That's what he said.
Well,
he said that he was very much a gentleman and he would never use that kind of language.
I think he hated Karloff.
I think he did too.
He didn't like Karloff because Frankenstein became so popular, and I guess he turned down the role of Frankenstein. So, you know, Karloff always got the top billing in them Universal movies. So I think there was a little bit of jealousy with Lugosi. And Karloff had a longer career and a more storied career. Sorry, Bella, but he did.
Sad. But
I don't know. I'm gonna imagine that Lugosi did cuss, because that's one of my favorite lines right there.
Yeah.
In video, Bob and David, my friend, we used to like spot that line out all the time. We would just stop in the middle of the store and start screaming it out. We were crazy back then.
All right, next we got George the Animal Stealer. Steal.
What?
George the Animal Steal.
The wrestler?
The wrestler.
God dang, it is George Animal Steel playing Tor Johnson.
And Tor Johnson was actually a professional wrestler also.
Yeah, and he couldn't talk like George Animal Steel couldn't talk. They were sort of like the same gimmick almost.
Well, if you look at pictures of them,
they look alike.
They look almost, they could be brothers for sure.
Yeah, they could.
You know, he played a good role in this for sure.
Well, and George Animal Steel was known, you know, as in wrestling, he couldn't speak, and he would say, hey, hey. Well, in one part when they're filming Bride of the Monster, Bela Lugosi has like a whip, and he's beating him with it, and George Animal Steel starts his hey, hey, he's just like in wrestling. I thought that was brilliant. I'm sure it was done intentionally because, you know.
And, you know, Tor Johnson had the best-selling Halloween mask for like 10 years running.
Sure did.
Popular Halloween mask.
That's a true story.
From like the early 70s to the almost 1980. Remember, you could buy masks off the back of magazines, the horror magazine.
I remember those, and I remember the Tor Johnson mask.
Yep. But that's how he basically got his big name, was from that mask. So,
well, with me, I always know him as the wrestler. So there you go.
Next, we got Juliet Landau as Loretta King, who was the thought
mistaken Harris.
Yeah, the mistaken heiress.
Harris. Yeah, I said it wrong.
And Juliet Landau is actually, what's his name's daughter?
Martin Landau?
Martin Landau's daughter, yes.
Yep, you're right. She was also Drusilla in Buffy.
Yep. That's right. She is, isn't she?
She sure the heck is, or was, or I don't know. I miss Buffy. They need to bring that shit back.
Next, we got Ned Bellamy as Tom Mason, who played Kathy's chiropractor, who was chosen to be Bela Lugosi's stand-in, but they
he
never
sure was
face.
He sure was.
They always showed him with his cloak over his you know, the famous Bela Lugosi.
Well, Lugosi did that for real, so it's believable that this character could have went around with a cloak on him. So, I'm just saying. Hey, look, I got my Bela Lugosi mug tonight too.
Oh,
or is that Count Krabby? Who knows?
Isn't that special? All right, next we got Stanley DeSantis as Mr. Feldman. He played an executive at Warner Brothers.
Oh yeah, that guy. He was he didn't like Ed Wood.
No. Rance Howard as Old Man McCoy.
That was the meat packer. Yeah.
He funded Bride of the Monster. And last but not least, we got Corla Pandit as the Indian musician.
Yeah, that's when they were having a party.
Yeah.
I think it was the rap party for Bride of the Monster. Or it might have been Plan 9.
I think it was Bride of the Monster because they were at the bar.
Yeah.
The Brown Derby or whatever it was.
Yeah, that was like a famous Hollywood eatery hangout.
Still is, I think.
I think it's gone, but I don't know.
I'm not gonna lie.
But I don't know.
I haven't been to Hollywood in 30 years, so.
Time to go back.
No.
Hey, why not?
Please, no. All right. That's all we got for the cast.
A little bit of the historical accuracy before you go any further.
Okay.
Now, Burton did say that it's not hardcore realistic. So he admitted that a lot of it is sort of, you know, choreographed, staged. That sounds like I'm talking about wrestling now. Now, it was Bela Lugosi Jr. or Bela G. Lugosi. Yeah, Bela G. Who is the one that said that it was inaccurate, that Lugosi, like you said, never cussed. He didn't own small dogs. He didn't sleep in coffins. And he wasn't basically nearly as bad as Tim Burton portrayed him in the movie. I don't know. That's his son. I mean, you can take it for what it's worth. I mean, we know that movies are to entertain, and this movie did entertain, so maybe Bela was not as bad as it appeared, but I don't know. I don't know.
I believe they portrayed his drug addiction.
I know that was done accurately, but it's done worse. And in real life, he looked awful in that picture that they took when he was in the sanitarium.
Yeah, that's awful, man.
Even back then,
getting a hurt back, because that's what he started out with, his back.
Yeah, and he got addicted to
morphine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and was shooting up morphine.
Well, they also criticized the depiction of Dolores Fuller as being pretty inaccurate. So, I don't know how accurate this movie really is in any way. I didn't read the Ed Wood book. I really should have when I was younger, when I read all the time. So it is what it is. I mean, you can take it for what it is. It's a biography that's depicted, you know, as a movie. So it's not going to be
loosely based
on the life of Ed Wood and Bela Lugosi. We'll put it at that.
Yeah. All right. You got anything else you want to add before I go into a little trivia?
I'll give you a little bit about the DVD.
Okay.
The DVD was being released, and I had the goddamn thing, and it disappeared. It went off the shelves because I think David wanted to buy it. Somebody, maybe it was Bob. The three of us love that movie, and I had the DVD, and it actually got pulled off the shelf. So, it was postponed, but I had the damn thing. And, so I'm sure my copy might be worth a lot of money because I actually still own the original DVD. I never bought it on Blu-ray because I read that the Blu-ray actually didn't look any better than the DVD and it didn't have any special features. So there you go. There's some trivia. In this museum, we have an original DVD edition of Ed Wood that got pulled off the shelf due to legal reasons. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, even you said you had a hard time finding it. You were looking at it, looking for it to watch it the other day, and you couldn't.
Well, I have it in a special place because I do know that it's sort of one of my rarer movies. So, yeah, it wasn't where it would normally have been with the DVDs. It was it's actually on the wall with a bunch of other stuff. So, there you go. Now on to awards or trivia or whatever you got.
Let's go into some trivia, I guess, first. Kathy Wood, Ed Wood's wife, she actually visited the set and asked to meet Johnny Depp the day they were filming the scene where Wood would actually look really messed up, which made Burton nervous about it because she was there.
Maybe because he wasn't portraying everything correctly. I don't know.
And he didn't want her to think badly of the movie. And she seen Johnny Depp come out of his trailer and said, "That's my Eddie."
Oh, wow.
So that was her thumbs up to the movie, I guess you would say. This film cost more to produce than all of Edward D. Woods Jr.'s movies put together. Now, is that from beginning to end? I think he actually directed his last movie in 1976. So,
who knows if that's an accurate number or not? Of course, you got inflation to throw in there too. So, I think that's sort of a silly number.
Tim Burton said that he was drawn to the story because of similarities between Ed Wood's relationship with Bela Lugosi and his own friendship with Vincent Price late in the actor's life.
Ah, that's true. He was in a lot of Tim Burton movies.
Yep.
I need to find me a Bela Lugosi. I've been looking for one for years. Some former famous somebody to hang out with. I'm still looking for my Lugosi.
Oh, shit. There's about Bela Lugosi Jr. saying that his father didn't use foul language. Back to that, I think that he would use foul language, especially in his later life, you know.
Do I believe Bela Lugosi called Boris Karloff a limey cocksucker? Yes, I believe that. I will always believe that. Because it's true. Damn it. What do you think of that? Oh. I got you on that one. Oh. I got you, Bubba. You're speechless because I called Boris Karloff a limey cocksucker. You're speechless.
This is Tim Burton's favorite movie that he's directed.
That's cool. I would say Batman would be mine of his, but that's just me.
Jeffrey Jones's monologue at the beginning of the film is a play on Criswell's monologue from Plan 9 from Outer Space.
That's true.
Seven. That was a weird movie. I watched that.
Plan 9?
Yeah.
Like I said, I saw it as a kid, and I thought it
very
was
very strange.
I prefer Bride of the Monster. That's my favorite Ed Wood movie, I would say. It's not as cheesy as maybe Plan 9.
This is the first film by Tim Burton not to feature the score done by Danny Elfman.
Well, heck.
Wasn't this Tim Burton's first movie? No?
No.
Okay. What did he do before this? I can't think. I got a brain fart here.
I don't know. This isn't about Tim Burton's. This is about Ed Wood. So, yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Jesus. Why don't you go into awards here?
Went down the wrong pipe. Let me find the awards.
Oh, Michael Myers, get on to awards.
Michael Myers. Oh, shit. Let me see. Where's the awards?
Well, it was nominated for 3 Golden Globes. I know that for a fact.
Golden Globes,
what I call it.
Golden Gloves. They're not boxing.
I'm thinking of boxing. I know Johnny Depp and Martin Landau both were nominated for Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor. And man, Landau actually won a Golden Globe, not a glove, for that movie. So, you find your awards yet?
Yes.
Good.
Martin Landau actually won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor.
He certainly the hell did, and that was well-deserved.
Yes, it was. He did an awesome job in this movie. And Rick Baker, Vay Neal, and Yolanda Tusing won Best Makeup.
And they deserve that as well.
Yep, they did a good job doing him up as Bella, for sure. It was nominated for all kinds of awards.
And well-deserved, in my opinion.
Nominated for Best Picture, Comedy, or Musical for the Golden Globe.
Or Glove.
Nominated for Best Actor, Johnny Depp for Comedy or Musical. And best supporting actor, Martin Landau won the Golden Globe.
I said that already.
Did you say that already?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess the most famous one is the Saturn Awards, the next one. Martin Landau won for best actor, best music for Howard Shore, best makeup for Rick Baker. Best fantasy film was nominated. And best writing was nominated for Scott Alexander and Larry Karaszewski, however is all you say it. So that is the awards.
Yeah, it was definitely an award-winning movie. So Ed Wood got so much shit in his life, I'm sure he would be smiling down or smiling up. He's probably in hell, where am I going? And laughing that, look at that. My movie won all the awards. So I'm sure that would make Ed Wood very happy.
All right. Well, do you got anything else about Ed Wood there, Carl?
Nope, I do not.
Okay. Well, what do you rate this movie at, Carl?
This movie is really hard for me to rate because, again, I watched it with my buddies, you know, when it was first released back on videotape. And we just had a ball watching this movie. You know, we would, like I said, we would shout lines out from it for years. Landau was absolutely great. One of the best roles maybe ever. I don't know. Could be. Johnny Depp, good. They all did a good job. Now, the accuracy of it, I have a look. Now that I'm older, I kind of question, you know, this really probably isn't how this all went. So that might take a point or two off there for me. But I watch this movie and I always love it still. So I'm going to have to give Ed Wood a 4.
Okay. That's fair.
Because, you know, being mostly horror genre stuff he made, especially, I find it fascinating. And I sort of sometimes feel like I'm the Ed Wood of whatever I'm doing. I just never get to the top, but I never quit trying. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I sort of feel like that too.
A lot of respect for Ed Wood, you know, never give up. And as the Texas Rangers have on their new Peagle jerseys, dream the big dream.
All right. So a 4, huh?
Yeah. Why not?
Well, this is, I think this is your typical Tim Burton movie. It was really dark in a lot of ways.
It had a lot of humor to it.
A lot of humor. I sort of felt bad for Bela Lugosi, though.
You think they kind of made fun of him and used him a bit?
Yeah, like he was being used, and just with his drug, you know, ODing in the movie and all that, I felt bad for genuinely felt bad for Bela Lugosi.
But how much of that was reality and how much of it was done for
See,
the
that's
movie?
The thing you don't know.
You don't know.
But
we do know that Lugosi was in a rehab or the sanitarium, whatever they called him back then. And he looked terrible in the pictures, the reality pictures. So who knows if this is exactly how it went or not. So,
but maybe that's the way Tim Burton wanted you to see it, you know?
Could have been.
But yeah, I felt really bad for Bela Lugosi's character.
Yeah, you told me it was a sad movie. That's how you described it to me when we were first
talking. It was sort of sad for his part, you know? And for him just to end up dying like that, you know?
Yeah.
Just out of the blue. Oh, he's dead, you know? It's like, so. But
sort of reminds me of poor Patrick, you know? Just all of a sudden, he was dead, you know? And he sort of lived a sad life at the end, you know? So I can see, I can see where people would feel bad for Bella.
But oh, I definitely did, for sure.
The kid said he wasn't as bad as the movie portrayed, and I don't think he appreciated Tim Burton doing that. So, I don't know. I don't know that I believe Bela G. Lugosi or not. I have no clue.
Well, I think they probably portrayed the drug addiction probably pretty close to what it was.
Do you think he called Karloff a cocksucker?
I probably think he probably did.
Good deal. Because it's true, Karloff. God damn you.
Yeah,
anybody could have played Frankenstein. Lon Chaney Jr. played Frankenstein just as good as freaking Karloff. Sorry, it's true.
So anyway.
Yeah, what's your rating after all that?
I'm going to go ahead and give it a 4-2. I think this movie was very well directed and produced and
acted.
And acted, for sure. They all did a good job.
I'm telling you, Martin Landau, that's one of the best performances I've ever seen of any movie. I don't care what genre it is. I mean, I really praise that because Martin Landau looks nothing like Bela Lugosi.
Yep.
At all. And my God, he looked just like him in the movie.
For that time in his life, yes, yeah. He did.
And that accent was spot on. Like you said, that Hungarian accent's hard to pull off. So
yep.
I think it's deserving of a 4.
Exactly. So yeah, I'm giving it a 4-2, man.
Fair enough.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess that's all we got for Ed Wood.
That's it.
That's it. That's all. There's nothing else.
Nothing more to say about the Ed Wood character.
Highly recommend this movie. Check it out if you have never seen it, for sure.
Definitely. Definitely.
Hope we didn't give away too many spoilers, but
it's on Vudu and the streaming places. If you want to buy it, it's pretty cheap, I think. I'm sure you probably found it on Tubi.
Somewhere. Somewhere over the rainbow.
On Tubi, yeah. Well, check out our social media. We got the Evil Never Dies, Evil Ones group on Facebook.
Yeah, let's get some more people in there, man.
Yeah, we had a few more join. Check us out on our YouTube page and subscribe.
Yes.
We got a lot of people from the convention, a lot of new listeners, a lot of new subscribers. We're on all the platforms. You do the reels, which have become a big hit. They're on.
Yeah, that freaks me out, man. I've been putting them up, and like 10 minutes later, it's like I got 100 views already. It's like, wow. Yeah. That's crazy shit right there. So,
are we on X?
What?
Are we on X?
X. What's X?
X used to be called Twitter. But
oh, is it X? They've changed it to X now.
Yeah, Elon changed it to X.
Yeah, we're on X.
Okay, cool. We need to start promoting more heavily on X now. They're not even called tweets anymore. They're called something else.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I really ain't know what the hell's going on then.
You're behind the times. You need to get on X and find out what's going on.
On the X.
Well, they're not updated on the phone.
Like, what the hell
yet.
Are you talking about? I seen that he was doing that, but I didn't know it happened already. Shit.
Well, apparently Twitter is so fucking dead that just throwing it away and starting a whole new thing is probably the best suggestion, I guess.
Wow, that's crazy. Huh. But yeah.
We're on X.
Leave us an Apple review too. That helps us out a lot too. If you're on,
yeah, I always Apple forget. I pay more attention to the YouTube side where Brett is the podcaster side. So don't forget about our podcasting. We need reviews. We like good review. Give us a bad review. I don't care.
Well, I'll take a 1-star.
They can call me an asshole because it's
true. Tell me I'm a piece of shit. I don't care.
I'm gonna tell you what. I was a real asshole at work today. I schooled several people, and I was a dick, probably.
Work sucked today.
I worked fucking 11 hours today.
I just can't believe how many idiots there are in this world.
I can't believe how many idiots I have. Yeah, I don't even want to get into it. visit thecarltodd.com. It's semi-updated. It'll lead you to Count Karabi's Museum, our Facebook page and the YouTube. That's easy to remember. Just punch in my name. You can find the museum on Google Maps if you want to find us.
And as soon as it ain't 100 and fuck degrees outside, we're going to start working on the Han again.
I may be out there sooner than that. Who knows? I'm about to order a Leatherface, I think.
Oh, here we go.
You don't think I ought to get him?
Been wanting that sucker for 2 months now.
I talked to Maddie when I was at the doctor this morning. I was bored, and she said, I said, remember, I was going to buy that thing like 8 or 9 years ago. And she's like, yeah, and you were mad at yourself for not buying it. But at the time, I couldn't really explain buying it because I wasn't running a backyard hunt. I was working at Moxley, and I really didn't need to buy any more big props. And I regretted it. It was one of those Jiminy props. It was a Leatherface. It's sort of like my Michael Myers and my Jason. And I still regret that. So maybe it's time to rectify and yeah, get the one from Spirit that has the moving chainsaw, because it looks just exactly like Leatherface did in Chainsaw 1 to a T. Even the freaking tie is exact. It's exact.
Yeah, if you probably would have got it 9 years ago, it probably would have been built a lot better.
It would have been. I already know the chainsaw will probably break on it, but I don't run these things, but maybe like 5 minutes a year or so. All of them still work except for Michael's arms broke, but that was broke when I got it. So I got him.
All right, everybody. We've rambled on.
You can actually see Michael
enough.
Myers tonight. Look at that. You can see his face right above the skeleton.
Isn't he cute?
Evil dies tonight.
Oh,
remember that.
Don't even start that shit. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching and listening, and we love you all. And
evil dies tonight. We'll talk to you next week.
Stay evil, everybody.
'Tim Burton, director of Batman, Beetlejuice, and Edward Scissorhands, now takes you to a completely different world. The true story of a Hollywood legend, Ed Wood.
And action!
He made movies like no one else.
You want to keep moving? You've got to get through that door.
Ah! That was perfect.
Perfect. Do you know anything about film production?
Well, I'd like to think so.
He had an eye for talent.
I met Bela Lugosi.
I thought he was dead.
This is the most uncomfortable coffin I've ever been in.
No, he's very much alive.
You flying saucer?
He had a passion for storytelling.
Get me transvestites. I need transvestites.
You're flashy. They want that. Okay. But they want professionalism. So Nick Sonnenelli without losing naivete.
What kind of a movie is this?
It's science fiction. A heartbreaking romance. Brave robbers from outer space.
Brave robbers from what?
And he had a secret he couldn't hide.
I like to dress in women's clothing. Panties, sweaters, pumps. It's just something I do.
You don't like sex with girls?
No, I love sex with girls. Wearing their clothes makes me feel closer to them.
How can you act so casual when you're dressed like that?
All right, everybody, let's finish this picture.
Touchstone Pictures presents Johnny Depp, Martin Landau, Sarah Jessica Parker, Patricia Arquette, and Bill Murray in the true story.
Give him a hand. Keep rolling.
Of an unforgettable filmmaker.
We're making another movie. I got the Church of Beverly Hills to put up the cash.
How do you get all your friends to get baptized just so you can make a monster movie?
And his legacy that will live forever.
How do you turn this off?
Shake his legs around. Looks like he's killing me.
Ah!
This is the one.
You.
This is the one I'll be remembered for.
Ed Wood, a Tim Burton film.
Really? Worst film you ever saw? Well, my next one will be better. Hello?